Welcome to Off the Panel, examining literature in capes, cowls, and tights. I'm your host for this evening, Alex Cook, and I'm joined by two guests that I will introduce as soon as I get the book out of the way, because this is actually a book that, honestly, I haven't read until we did this episode. This is kind of a new discovery of mine, but it's nonetheless worthy of this program. It's nonetheless worthy of the other books we've spotlighted, because it is something that is very unique in that superheroes are generally defined by their origin. You know how Batman became to be. You know how Superman came to be. You know Spider-Man. You know the X-Men. You know all of those characters and how they came to be. But there's one character in comics whose origin was shrouded in mystery for so long in the comic books that he appeared in that it became a staple of the character. And revealing his backstory was such a hot-button issue that Marvel did not do this until 2000. The character is Wolverine. Now, most generally know that Wolverine was given adamantium claws from a failed experiment in Weapon X, which deemed to turn him into a killer. Of course, he ended up becoming like an agent and eventually an X-Men, but that's not where the story really begins. The story really begins with who he is as Logan, not who he is as Wolverine. So to help me talk about this story, I've enlisted two podcast alumni outside of the Off-Panel Podcast. The first, you know him as the Southerner, to beat all Southerners, except for Matt Johnson, James Lewis.
To be honest, none of us beat Matt Johnson when it comes to being Southern.
That is true.
I am just a student at his feet.
I would say you're like more the Deadpool to his Wolverine. You were in like the side experiments.
Just the other day, Matt was holding out his hand saying, "When you can pull this grit from out my hand, your training will be complete."
And
then he scalded me.
Which kind of fits with what the book we're talking about. And also, from across the pond of the podcast sphere, that is, a Mr. Mike Napier of Pulp Nightmare fame.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. The story that we're talking about is called Origin, and it was released in 2000, like I said, from writer Paul Jenkins, artist Andy Kubert.
2001, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, 2001. I'm sorry, all right? I'm not the origin expert here, because these two actually indoctrinated me into the book, and
We kidnapped you, put you into a tube.
Yes.
Cooked diodes to you. There was leakage.
I didn't fit. It was kind of strange.
Your hair grew very long.
Your hands were so itchy, it was driving you insane.
Why are my hands so itchy? Ah! That's a X-Men the Animated Series reference for no one who understands.
Our audience understands. If anyone's audience understands, it's ours.
Yes. Well, here Off the Panel, we like to spotlight the best of the best. And Origin is probably one of the best Wolverine stories I've ever read. If not the top one, then one of the top two, I would say. Because it is a surprising book. Like, it is a book that you would not expect to be what it is. Even going in knowing that is the origin of who Wolverine essentially becomes. Like, it's something that it's hard to really describe, honestly, because it's just such a stark work compared to what you would generally associate with Wolverine. So, like,
it's the absolute last origin story you would ever expect for Wolverine.
Yeah.
Take me through your thought process when you were reading this for the first time, because you both read it, like, way earlier than I did.
Yeah, Mike and I read it whenever it initially came out in 2001. Yeah. Which, by the way, what was your reaction whenever they first announced this series? I remember this just being like the biggest thing that had ever happened in comic books in 2001.
Yeah.
It was like the comic book version of Jesus coming back.
It was a big fucking deal. It was like, it was kind of a head scratcher at the same time. I mean, everybody wanted to read it. I was excited for it, but I was also kind of like, you know, do you want to read it? What if it's not good and this is always going to count? What is it exactly? Because there was no details for it. They leaked some stuff about him maybe being American that you'd read about in, like, Wizard. But, like, you didn't even know who Wolverine was in the story. Like, I think we were discussing before, and I don't think they even released preview pages for it.
No, I remember the only thing being released was that cover with the three of them standing in a field.
So, for all we knew, Rose was Wolverine.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Rose actually turns out to be Wolverine.
Wolverine.
It's still entirely possible. We don't know what Weapon X did to him.
He was a sexy lady. He was a sexy lady.
Sexy Irish lady. Why does that make sense as Wolverine's origin?
Well, he's the best at what he does.
Yeah, and what he does is right.
Not sexy at all.
All right, so origin is really the story about three people, like you said. It's the story of James Hallett. It's the story of Dog Logan, and it's the story of Rose. Out of those three, like, the person who actually becomes Wolverine is probably the least you would expect, because Dog Logan is very much set up to be sort of...
He's the red herring.
Yeah, he's sort of the smoke and mirrors type thing. Like, he's put out there as a means for you to sympathize with at first, and then as the story goes along, it changes. Very dramatic.
Yeah, Dog is the focus of every panel he's in for those first two issues.
And it's treated very much... It's great because Dog's story is treated like what you would stereotypically think of as Wolverine growing up. Like being beaten by his alcoholic father, you know, being forced to drink, essentially, being turned into an alcoholic.
Even his speaking mannerisms, like the way he speaks with like this whole, you know, drawl, it's almost, I don't know, I've always found it very hard to describe how Wolverine talks, but... He has a very distinct style when you read his dialogue in the comics, and Dog kind of echoes that for a couple of panels, and what ends up being Wolverine doesn't. I mean, clearly. It's very shocking, not only in how it portrays what Wolverine was when he started out as a human being, but what he inevitably becomes and the journey that goes through that, because it's shocking, and yet at the same time, it's so very clear.
Yeah, I would... go out on a limb and say that the twist at the end of issue 2 is the best plot twist I've ever seen pulled off in a comic book.
Yeah.
Because there's absolutely no doubt in your mind for those first two issues that Dog is Wolverine. Like, it never occurs to you that he might not be.
Yeah, he's even got, like, sideburns. Like, he looks like Wolverine. Like a young Wolverine.
Yeah, when you open issue 2, it opens with a shot of him where he just looks like Logan.
Yeah.
And the fact that his father looks exactly like current Wolverine just cements it in your mind.
Yeah, which has its own interesting connotations, which go into later issues and even later developments in like other media. But the biggest thing for me about this is just how seriously it's all taken. Like, it's the most serious Wolverine comic I've ever read in my life. Because Wolverine is generally a character that, I wouldn't say he can't be taken seriously, it's just that his storylines have a certain tone.
Well, this isn't like a mutant sci-fi type of story.
Yeah, that's mostly what I meant, was that it's not really dealing with any sort of unnaturalistic elements. Of course, he ends up getting the claws, and he ends up having his mutant powers, like Rose even speaks about him healing before her very eyes, but it's... treated in such a way where it's almost an addition to a story that's already being told more than...
His powers are become, in the story, more of an extension of his animalistic side.
Yeah.
Than the story's about his powers. Like, he only pops his claws, like, barely at all in the story.
Like three times in the story.
Yeah, like two or three times, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's very spread out, too. Like, the first time he does it, it's obviously a big part of the second issue, but by the time he gets to the fifth issue, they're barely popping out then.
Yeah, just when he's, like, running with the wolves and stuff. And then not again until he fights Dog.
It's interesting how the majority of the book is told through Rose's point of view, which was very startling whenever reading the series for the first time, because you're essentially watching the origin of Wolverine seen almost entirely through the eyes of someone else.
Yeah, not only that, but a character who was made up on the spot. Like, no one had ever heard of this character. There was never a reference to her in the comics, because we had never gotten... any indication of Wolverine's life really before Weapon X, unless you count like the World War II stuff and all that. But Rose is a very intriguing character all of her own. She's sort of set up to be like this whole, like, essentially she's a nanny for James, but she's sent up to the Howlett estate, and it's already got like its own share of demons.
Yeah, like, the Howlett estate is introduced like it's a haunted house.
Yeah, you first see just like, I love the opening panels where it's just empty field. Then you see the Hallett house being built at night, and then you see it finally built.
Like, and you're immediately told of all the tragedies that have befallen the family that lives there.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, you're told that not only did James have a brother, but the brother died and his mother's beside herself with grief, which is such a big plot point that goes into the second issue that it's, I mean, point in issue two, the most important moment of the story is probably one of the most horrific things that can happen on a comic book page. It's just things go south so quickly that it's, I don't even know how to describe it, really. It's kind of visceral, but at the same time, it's understated and haunting. You know that's the moment where Wolverine was really born, and it makes a statement.
It's a really fucked up series of panels.
Yeah.
Like, the entire ending of that issue is just fucked up. From just the moment he pops his claws to dog holding his face while blood drips down, his mother cradling Thomas instead of her husband whose head just got blown apart.
Yeah, that is a final page that is forever tattooed into my memory. Not just the stark horror of that image, but also the reveal that James is in fact Wolverine. Like, those two things together just fucking traumatized me in the best possible way.
Yeah. That page where he's got his claws out and he's just screaming, like, it lends itself really well to the next issue because it starts off with Rose saying, "I will never forget the sound that he made." Like, it is so very much a Wolverine origin story, but at the same time, it's nothing you would ever expect from the character. It's just as powerful as an origin as even the best origin stories in comic books go, because it's like Wolverine is ultimately a tragic character, and he had to be born in very extreme circumstances, and this was the moment where his rage is unleashed, and he turns from this really
pathetic.
Yeah, really pathetic, but at the same time, it's like really, he's sickly and he's weak, and there's just nothing about him that you would ever associate with the character. And then in that moment, that single moment, it just switched just like a light.
Yeah, the character is first introduced in the opening pages of the first issue, like in a really small panel where you can barely make out his features, dressed like a Victorian dandy playing hoop and stick. Like, that's canonically the first appearance of Wolverine in a comic.
Amazing. That's
something
shirt.
I love whenever I flip through the issues, like the second, third time, is Kubert manages to sneak in these little panels in the first two issues where for like a split second, James looks like Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's really weird how all the visual cues kind of lead up to the moment where not only does he kill his father's killer, but everyone just kind of goes back in horror at the animal he's become before their eyes.
And even though it's not expressly stated in the story, the reader knows that Dog's father is James's father as well.
Yeah, and probably the father of the other brother, the dead brother.
Which is something I like, that they don't just turn to the reader and explain everything. They let you use your head and figure out what's going on.
Yeah,
really see.
The fact that James has very dark hair, just as dark as the Logan father.
And again, the fact that Thomas Logan just looks like Wolverine.
Yeah. By the way, Thomas Logan, there are so many villains in this story, but they're not really villains, if that makes any sense. They're played up as antagonistic characters, but they're not like directly, you know, this is not the supervillain type thing. It's just like they exist in the story just to kind of like stepping stones, really, leading up to like the events that unfold. Because, you know, you have Thomas Logan, you have James's grandfather, who is probably one of the most hateable characters in comic book fiction.
Surly asshole.
I mean, wow. And then, of course, there's, you know, later on when he goes to work at the mines, you know, there's this character called Cookie, who is
piece of shit. Orchard Blob.
Yeah.
But of all of them, I find it fascinating that, like you were saying, none of them are grandstanding supervillains. They're all just small and pathetic at best. Like, the only one that comes close to reaching that level is Dog, who, by the end of the story, is more a force of nature than really a person.
Yeah, and not only that, but you don't really know what happens to him. Like, you don't really know what happens to a lot of characters, because there's a big moment towards the end that kind of defines everything. And really, the only ones you see as an aftermath is Logan and this character called Smitty.
Yeah, Dog is almost like Michael Myers by the last issue. He's just this shape.
Yeah.
And not only that, but clearly Dog is meant to be, like, if not the character himself, a personification of the character.
Sabretooth analog.
pretty much. Like, it's Sabretooth before Sabretooth existed. And it paints a very nice picture, because by the end of it, when you see the two going at it, it's straight up Wolverine versus Sabretooth. It is, there's no doubt left in your mind that James becomes Logan. There are so many good things to say about this book, but overall, I would say the biggest compliment I could give it is that it's the most character-driven piece I've read in a long time. This book feeds off character. It doesn't feed off story. It doesn't feed off events. It feeds off character. And the big point that it makes is that this is how a character's personality came to be. It isn't so much this is how Wolverine came to be, because he's not quite there yet. This is how the man who will become Wolverine comes to be.
That's one of the things I love about it. He never, like, he picks up certain things. Like, he starts saying bub, starts smoking, which he picks up from Smitty. Yeah. But, like, even in his face, they kind of keep him, he looks like a Wolverine you've never quite seen before in the face. Like, even he softens up his image every once in a while. He gets wide-eyed, and he still acts like a child, but he has, like, the button chops and everything.
Yeah.
But he never quite acts like full-on Wolverine. Like, he'll get there eventually, but this is, like, at the end of the story is when he goes off, completely loses it, and then he builds up to what we see later on.
Yeah. And the fact that Rose plays such a big part of why he goes off and becomes a loner is really a fitting bookend to the story.
And the idea of Rose being a gene analog is maybe the best contribution to Wolverine continuity, in my opinion. After decades, finally giving Wolverine a reason to love Jean, other than she's hot.
Well,
it's fascinating to look at Wolverine comics since Origin has come out, like, to see how different writers play around with maybe he does know, maybe he doesn't know what happened. Because occasionally he will get a vision of Rose, like, for one panel, or he'll remember, like, Dog. And Dog even recently came back in Wolverine and the X-Men.
And he's met Thomas in hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jason Aaron's really played a lot with that story in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, they could really, I mean, even especially after telling stuff like this, they can only have Wolverine not know his past for so long before it just starts getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's like, you would think that would completely unravel the character. It hasn't. Like, it's actually really added a lot of depth to the character.
Yeah.
Because now that he knows, it's like he's really trying to better himself. He's trying to be better than what he used to be.
Yeah, there was a huge fan outrage whenever this was first announced, because everyone said that, well, the entire appeal of Wolverine is that he has no origin. Like, if you reveal this secret, then he's just going to be some dude.
It was kind of like the opposite of the Joker, almost, where it's like the Joker hinges on your interpretations of what his origins would be. The same was true with Wolverine, but at the same time, Wolverine has like a big, just like the Joker, he has like a big point in his history where you could easily just say, well, that's where Wolverine was created, you know, with the Weapon X stuff. And this kind of goes beyond that and says, no, this is really where Logan came from.
And it's not a complete A to Z backstory, which I think helps tremendously.
Yeah,
there's still a great deal of mystery to the character.
Yeah, and there's even some mystery still in the book. I mean, we've talked about the stuff with the brother and the mother and stuff. Like,
yeah, we can talk about that for a minute, just how disturbing and haunting that subplot is. It's only vaguely hinted at that Wolverine, that James had an older brother who may or may not have been killed by the family, who also had mutant powers.
And there's stuff with the, like, I just turned to the page right now, and there's stuff with, like, you know, the mother, you see, has the scars going across her ribs, like, in Wolverine's costume. And it's like, what are those from? Like,
yeah, it's,
what's going on here?
That mother character herself is, like, just nothing but bleakness.
Yeah, and there's the stuff, like, right before she kills herself, which said, I told you this would happen if we ever came back here. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. And just the fact that, you know, she never really interacts with James. Like, she completely keeps her distance. And the sort of dynamic that comes out of not only her choice not to interact with Logan, or with James, rather. Just the fact that it may be because he's Thomas Logan's son. It may be because she lost her other son. It may be for completely different reasons. Maybe she's just insane. And she very much is insane. But what if it's a combination of all? You just don't know.
And psychologically, it's fascinating for James, because his mother is just this distant figure he sees on a balcony sometimes, who's never wanted anything to do with him, and eventually just kills herself because of his own actions, which sort of shapes the way he interacts with women from then on.
Yeah.
Because for the rest of Wolverine's life, his relationship with women is, they're these distant things that he wants to get close to, but then they always leave, usually because of something he's done.
like, there are so many layers to the story. It's insane just thinking about it, even beyond the story itself.
And one of my favorite contributions this did was the idea that Wolverine's forgotten all this. It's not because his memory's been wiped. It's adding on to his healing factor is so strong, it heals these horrible memories that he has.
Yeah, his psychological wounds.
Which I think is fascinating.
And not only that, but it's like just the fact that they brought in the bone calls. That was introduced beforehand, but that was never established so early on. Like, that was never a part of his childhood.
And I think the greatest strength of the book is just the fact that you could have no interest in X-Men, not know a thing about Wolverine, and just enjoy the story completely on its own merits.
Oh, yeah. It's a compelling story just in general.
Just this story of a murder in a Victorian mansion and the two kids go on the run and one of them is some kind of horrible freak.
Yeah, I mean, you could make... Obviously, they lifted some elements of this for the beginning of X-Men Origins, but I would love to see a movie adaptation of this because this could be like an art house Wolverine story.
I know it's very much like an Anthony Hopkins movie. It's like Remains of the Mutant. I mean, there's just such eloquent bits of writing in here. Like, whenever Rose says that the mansion is like a leaky pipe that's slowly dripping away happiness. You don't expect an eloquent Wolverine origin.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I love Wolverine, but it's like, this is just not what you would ever picture. Like, you picture much more like Dog's beginnings, like you said.
Yeah. This isn't the origin story for an anti-hero. That's the thing.
Yeah, but in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. Like, of course Wolverine would have an origin out of a Charles Dickens story.
Does make a lot of sense.
Like, of course there was a time whenever he was innocent and pampered, and that was violently taken from him.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's not like a clear-cut origin story. Like, even though I do feel like the moment where he sees his father shot is the moment where Wolverine is born, like that animalistic rage inside him, I feel like even with everything the story manages to accomplish, it's not like as simple as a kid and his parents go down an alley, a mugger
confronts him.
Yeah,
it's not a secret origin.
Yeah. It's not, you know, someone's rocketed from another planet and they're found and raised to be good. It's like...
Yeah, it's a psychological origin.
It's almost like a real-world origin. A series of events in someone's life that has led them to a particular path through varying circumstances.
Yeah, the only thing I could compare it to is maybe Punisher Born by Garth Ennis.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, this isn't a superhero origin. This is how this person's mindset came about.
Yeah.
Which is always more fascinating.
Honestly, that would be a very interesting story for any superhero that they haven't done that with. And there's a surprising amount of characters they haven't done it with. Like, you've never really seen the mindset that Spider-Man comes from, really. And then Wolverine's is just... It's right here where the character comes to life. It's amazing.
Even his love of Japan.
He sees a pamphlet. Do you think that was, like, filled with hentai or something?
Yes.
Old-time hentai.
Going back to how, like, he was shaped, my favorite thing is the very... I mean, literally, one of the last pages of the book is when he's fighting Dog. And he remembers Dog was responsible for the murder of his, well, who he assumes to be his father. Like, just, it's a small piece of dialogue, but he reveals that he has remembered all these past few years since the events of that night, but he thought it was he who killed his father. And he's been living with this until this moment that he finally remembers.
Yeah, it's like sort of, it parallels the modern day Wolverine where it's like he's tortured by visions of Weapon X. It's like, here he's tortured for a completely different reason, and it makes sense why he wouldn't want to talk about the events leading up to now.
Yeah.
And it kind of furthers the idea of Dog as like not even a separate person, but just a representation of his animal side that he's fighting against. Because like in his head, yeah, he did kill him because Dog is a part of him.
It's just, there's so much you could say about this book, but at the same time, it leaves so much for you to decide for yourself. And
how potent is Thomas's sperm? Like, seriously, every kid he knocks out is a mutant.
A sickly child who turns into a mutant.
And they all have animal powers. Like, is it all the alcohol?
It's that brisk Canadian air.
I still love the reveal that it was in Canada.
Yeah.
Which gets a dramatic panel.
Yeah, which is good, because they're originally going to be set in Texas. It'd be very different.
But there was, let's just talk about, like, the lead-up to this, in that Marvel... Okay, the reason this story exists, like, wasn't it, like, a Marvel memo or something like that?
It was it was after Quesada got editor-in-chief. I mean, this was after Marvel went through bankruptcy and just got dragged through shit. Quesada had all the editors over for a meeting... And they were just like, it's talked about, if you get the hardcover, there's some great background stuff in it. but I mean, pretty much by every different perspective tells a different version of the same story. You know, people were pitching Secret War 3, Infinity Gauntlet 4, like all these ridiculous things to try to do something and help Marvel out. And apparently it was like Bill Gemmis was like, what about Wolverine's origin? And everybody just said, no, fuck no. That would ruin the entire character. But it was just kind of talked him into everybody giving it some thought and just kind of started to spitball. And people wondered, like, well, what kind of story could that actually be? And
also, a pretty big thing was there was a massive rumor going around at the time that X-Men 2 was going to reveal the origin of Wolverine, and they just didn't want to be beaten to the punch.
Yeah, X-Men had come out that year. This meeting was probably in 2000, so it came out that year. And the rumor was going around that it was a rumor and a fear that we need to tell this origin before a movie does, and everybody sees that as a Wolverine's origin. So it was kind of beating it to the punch thing. So it added a little bit of fuel to the fire to get this going.
Yeah, they didn't want to be beholden to the movies in the same way that DC is still kind of beholden to the fact that the Joker's first name is Jack.
It's just so weird how something like this could come out of such weird circumstances. Like it has three, I think it has three story credits actually in it.
Yeah.
But the script is by Jenkins.
Yeah.
Bill Gemmis, Joe Quesada, and...
And Jenkins.
You know, I never thought about it in this context, but Origin, like, side by side with the Ultimate books, were responsible for, like, the second age of Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel was kind of a company that had been written off after the big 90s crash, but Origin is what brought a level of prestige to it. That's always been Marvel's thing, is they don't really have... They have great storylines, but they don't really have a solid graphic novel library. And
yeah, like if you think like classic comic book literature, you think stuff like Watchmen, V for Vendetta, Dark Knight Returns, Batman Year One, and you don't really think of a lot of Marvel books. Some, but not very many.
Yeah, this was very much their first attempt at a Vertigo-type miniseries.
I would say like the Marvel stuff you do think of is very dated stuff, even if it is good.
Or
like
it's even just straight superhero stuff, too.
Yeah.
Origins is just a great piece of literature.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very overlooked. You know, people think of comic book literature. They think of, you know, the normal ones. Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, always the two that everybody always goes to. But no one really thinks of Origin, which should be up there. It's kind of left out.
Yeah.
Which you would never expect for a Wolverine title.
And my question is, like, what do you think that is?
I don't know. I just think some are ingrained. Maybe it's not old enough. Maybe because it's some... It's a Marvel book. It's a Wolverine book. It just kind of left to the side.
I think there's also still a small cloud of controversy about it, with it being that fucking book that told Wolverine's origin.
Yeah, but I think that's a very small minority at this point. I think pretty much everyone's just come to accept Origin. There's still people who are, I think, just because they just want, because Wolverine, when they grew up, his history was a mystery. And hey, I rhymed. And they didn't. You know, they don't like the idea of it even existing.
There's really nothing I can say about it that we haven't said already, because it's just, it's such an amazing find for someone who's grew up on Wolverine and grew up on the X-Men and never really read that one story that could compete with all the great comic book storylines that have ever existed. I guess you could list like Days of Future Past and stuff like that along with it, but none that really stack up the exact same way.
But Origins is kind of an anomaly in that it doesn't feel like you're in a comic book superhero universe when you really are.
Yeah.
It's just incidental that there's mutant powers in it all. It just has this very... The vibe from the writing to the art is just different than anything else. Even stuff like Watchmen.
I mean, it's its own thing, through and through. It's its own thing, even within the X-Men continuity. And that's really what makes it stand out and what makes it really worthy enough to read. A solid, solid read, and I cannot recommend it enough. I just want to thank you, too, for being on to talk about this book.
We will always be here to talk about Origin.
We'll talk about next week?
We're dependable for.
We'll talk about it for the next few installments.
The new spinoff, the Origin cast. We do it issue by issue.
No, panel by panel. No,
inside sentence, the panel coming soon sentence. To the Pulp Night.
And if you can ever get the hardcover of it, it's great.
Yeah, there's, Mike's been lording that over our heads all night.
It's
really
great.
Heavy, in my opinion.
You're just sad you don't have it.
I am.
And why don't you all be sad that you don't have it and do something about it? So pick up Origin.
The greatest story never told.
And you've been listening to Off the Panel, featuring myself, Alex Cook, and Mike Napier, and James Lewis.
Woo! Bye.